Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina, back for another week. Thanks for joining me. This episode of the SI Media Podcast will feature an interview with Jim Miller, author, and best known for being the ESPN whisperer. He knows all that's going on in Bristol. So we get into the Monday Night Football news here with Jason Witten leaving. Turner has a big shakeup at the top, so we discuss that. Anand Virk and ESPN getting in the gambling business. So we cover a lot of ground there with Jim Miller. Want to give a shout out and a big thanks to Lou Pellegrino, who's been the producer of this podcast for a long, long time. Lou is not going to be producing anymore. We have a new producer for the SI Media Podcast. His name is Brandon. Just started at sportsillustrated.com Monday. We're taping on Tuesday. I've literally known him for an hour. So, Brandon, welcome aboard.
Thank you. And how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Are you into sports media at all?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. All right. We got to get to know you a little bit, and we'll bring you on here and get your opinions on things. Do you have any opinions on the Monday Night Football broadcast booth?
My only thing would be I would like to see
Louis Riddick
part of the broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they – I mean, it's such a – they always just want former players. It's so annoying. It's always got to be a – I mean, I guess he was a former player.
Former front office.
Yeah. But they always want those current former players, the guys who are only out of the league a couple of years. So, but Lewis would be good. There's no doubt about that. We get into this with Jim Miller. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Lewis Riddick. I don't care if it's Booger McFarlane or someone. Just give me a two-person booth. I hate the three-man booth. I think it gets way too crowded.
It just gets a little too sloppy and all over the place. It's a little more efficient when it's two people.
Yeah. What are your favorite sports teams?
Mets.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm Giants. A Yankee fan, so we're going to have issues right off the bat.
Football and Giants. I'll say Giants.
Giants, okay.
More family thing.
Right. Do you want the Giants to get a new quarterback, or you want to go pay him one more year?
Yeah, it's about time. New quarterback. What else? St. John's college basketball.
Okay.
Don't do that much hockey, but the Rangers.
You won't hear any hockey on here. Yeah. Well, that's not true. We had Biz Nasty on last week? No, last week was Stu Gatz from ESPN. He was great. And the week before that was Biz Nasty from Spittin' Chicklets on Barstool. And he was great. So you could check those out in the archives. Yeah. So, but NBA, that's the one we didn't do.
This is going to be funny.
Yeah.
Chicago Bulls.
And you grew up in New York.
Yes.
And how the hell did that happen?
Being a kid in the 90s, that's what happened.
MJ?
Yes. MJ and Pippen.
What disrespect to Patrick Ewing right in your backyard.
And the funny thing is?
The most underrated athlete in New York history right there.
And I agree. Funny thing is, my mother loved Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
Because my family's Jamaican, so yeah.
Patrick does not get the respect he deserves.
Yeah, I agree.
All because he didn't win a title. But that was a guy who never took 1 second off, ever.
And he was probably, one of the best college basketball players ever?
Georgetown, yeah, sure. Yeah. All right, so Chicago Bulls, New York Mets. Giants, New York Mets.
St. John's,
all right.
Rangers, yeah.
Are you a WWE fan?
I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, and I stopped right when I became a teenager.
You grew up, yeah. We do. I didn't grow up, so we do a lot of WWE here, so bear with us on that. All right, so Brandon's aboard. Happy to have him. And like I said, in the archives, we got Stu Gatz last week. He was great. Biz Nasty. Couple of others in the archives, John Oran, Andrew Marchand from recent times covering. If you want to dig deep in the archives, we got Steve Carell, Bill Walton, all from the last couple of months. So check those out. Subscribe, rate, review. It all helps. And now we go right to Jim Miller on all the latest sports media news. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular and the authority on all things ESPN, host of the Origins Podcast, Jim Miller. Jim, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. And I couldn't think of a better person to speak to this week after the big Monday Night Football shocking news. I mean, people say it's not shocking that Witten always sort of wanted to get back to the field, but it's still shocking news. Before we get to Witten, quickly, because this is the news today, Jessica Mendoza got a job in the Mets front office, and she's still going to do Sunday Night Baseball. Do you have any thoughts on that? I sort of feel like the days of conflicts of interest are over with broadcasters, but you're old school, so I'm curious what you think about it.
I mean, it's going to be quite the balancing act. You know, we've had little tiny elements, steps along the way. Sometimes even, I remember when people were going to complain about, were complaining about Gruden covering a game where his brother was coaching.
Right.
But, you know, it's all part of the journey. You know, it seems a tad difficult on the face of it, but, you know, I wish you well.
I mean, this is what I wrote in my column today on SI.com. As a fan, now I'm not talking about as a media person, but as a fan, as long as I know the conflict of interest, I'm okay with it. My issue is when there are conflicts of interest. For instance, you know, announcer X has the same agent as head coach X. Those, to me, are the really dirty conflicts of interest. If you know Jess Mendoza works for the Mets, then when she's calling a Met game, you take everything she says with a grain of salt, no?
Yeah, or maybe you just say to her, glad you're there, but, you know, when the Mets are there, you're going to take the night off.
Well, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought. I mean, how many times could the Mets be on Sunday Night Baseball? 3-4, and then just have someone else work those games?
That's all. I mean, I think in fairness to her, you know, it puts her under an unnecessary microscope, and then she has to be, you know, super, super careful about everything she says, or else it gets taken out of context or whatever. Right. I would say just, you know, bring somebody else in for those couple games.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Let's start with this, with Witten and Monday Night Football. All the reports say that ESPN was, blindsided might be a strong word, but they didn't have a major heads up this was coming. What can you tell us about that?
I think that's true. I think that, you know, look, here's the irony is that there were a lot of people that were saying to ESPN, and some people that I spoke to within ESPN, who were somewhat disappointed by Witten. And, you know, I think that they were taking the high road and kind of staying with him and trying to engineer another season where he'd have some more reps under his belt and maybe take it to another level. But they never threw him under the bridge. I thought they were pretty classy about it. And they were looking forward to, I think, the next season. And so I think some people, you know, really were taken aback. But look, he's a big boy. He's allowed to do, you know, what he wants to do. And I think that given the fact that he was in the shape he was in, even when he first signed, there was always that prospect in the back of somebody's mind. I mean, look, we always thought that, you know, Gruden was always trying to coach another team.
Right.
This is never a one-way street. And so I think that, you know, I think there were some people who were actually relieved. You know, could they have gotten more of a heads up? Maybe. But, you know, this all goes back to, you know, there's a side issue here, which is that Tony Romo really kind of ruined the booth for all newcomers.
Without a doubt. I've said that a million times on this podcast.
He just wiped out an entire generation.
Yep.
I mean, and this is why, I mean, look, I have not talked directly to Peyton Manning about this. But look, when you have Tony Romo doing what he's doing in the booth, what's the upside? I mean, Jason Witten, so he's a cowboy, and he's going to be new to the booth just like Tony was. And so then day one, you're going to be compared to Tony. And, you know, it just so happens that the guy is doing a terrific job. And so why would Jason Witten want to hang around and be compared to Tony Romo and not feel like he's doing, you know, the greatest job, doing the greatest performance in that job? It makes total sense to me.
And ESPN, the new booth last year of Tessitore, Witten, and McFarlane, on a weekly basis, we're getting destroyed by viewers. But ESPN was 100% going with them in the 2019 season, correct? I mean, there was no indications that they were going to shake it up after 1 year.
No, I mean, I think there were protests all over the country about the mobile, the car,
the crane, the
seat, because that was just a mistake. But no, that's what I was saying before. I think that they were, you know, they were trying to be loyal and they were trying to hang in for another season and see, you know, what could be done. And so I think that the idea, first of all, three men booths or three men operations are pretty tough.
Yep.
pretty tough just on the face of it.
Yep.
I mean, why, oh, why, oh, why? I mean, you have to go all the way back to Howard and Don and everybody else to really say, okay, this makes sense. And so I think that they tried it by having Booger at it, but I don't know. It just seemed to me like they were going to be stuck getting all three of them in the same booth, and that would have created its own problems for Jason.
Well, since you brought up Howard, I want to get to a point that I actually wrote about, I think, last week. But let me just piggyback on what you had said earlier. I do think, like you said, Witten's a big boy. He can do what he wants. But from what I know about the situation, I think that's a really, really bad job by him to not give ESPN a little notice, only because, like you said, and I know this personally from phone calls I got from ESPN people, multiple, more than one, defending him throughout the season and, you know, not happy with the... ESPN had Witten's back 100% from start to finish while fans were eviscerating him on a week-to-week basis. And I really didn't eviscerate him that much. I would maybe write about the fan reaction to him. And ESPN people very close to Witten in that booth were always defending him and not happy about the criticism. So for him to then turn around and give him an hour's notice is a little bush league, if you ask me.
Well, the only thing I'll do, I'll give him a little bit of a margin for error because we're in Jerry World, right? And so
true.
Who knows what constraints. I mean, to actually, look, he's got representatives and he's got the whole Cowboy organization on it and everything else. There might be, you know, some word from Dallas or whatever that this can't get out, and if you tell ESPN it's going to get out, we have
right.
to do this before it gets out or whatever. I'm not so sure. But look, ESPN, whether it had an hour or a week, you know, they can handle it. And quite frankly, I don't think it's going to make that big a difference to them because they're going to have that two-man booth unless somehow Peyton decides to change his mind. And you know, they have the relationship with Peyton because of the ESPN Plus show right now.
Yep.
And obviously Peyton has thought about this, but I mean, if you're Peyton, I mean, really, what's the upside?
So let me, before we get to Peyton, let me ask you, because you have the inside stuff on this. Is the plan from what you're hearing to go with Tessitore and Booger? And then if Peyton decides he wants to do it, they go all in on him? Or is there another
yeah.
scenario you can see happening?
No, that's what I was just saying. I believe from everything I've heard that it's going to be the two of them, and the only third possibility would be Peyton.
Right.
I mean, that's the only Peyton right now is the only reason to pull up a third chair. I mean, if they start, you know, auditioning people and bring somebody else in as a third that isn't Peyton, I'd be surprised, and I'd also say why.
Right.
I mean, like literally. I mean, you gotta if you believe you know, Tess and Booger are the people that should be at least two of the three, then you should just double down on them and have them do it. That's it. You know.
Yeah.
But it was. I don't think a third is. You don't bring a third. You don't bring a third person in to make the other two better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the names. I mean, they. You and I have discussed this too. I think we battled about this a little, about big name versus going with someone who may not be a big name. There's so many names out there for potential broadcasting from potential broadcasters who used to be players: Greg Olson, Joe Thomas, and I don't see ESPN going in that direction after the Witten thing. I think, like you said, it's Peyton or nothing.
Yep.
My thing about Peyton, I'll go on record. I think Peyton will be a huge bust in the booth, and I'll say, but this is my reason for saying this. The people who think Peyton Manning are funny, every single thing he's ever done that's been funny has been people writing for him. ESPYs, Saturday Night Live. You have Peyton without a script, there's not much there. Sorry.
Well, look, the operative word of what you just mentioned also is funny. And I think that sometimes funny, look, I had like 40 extra pages for the book about, you know, Mike Tirico and Tony Kornheiser. You know, I think that funny can be an advantage sometimes, and it can be a disadvantage sometimes.
Right.
And so it's also a much more difficult thing to choreograph and to manage from a producerial point of view and listening to it, because you're going on so many different levels. So I don't know if they're bringing in Peyton for humor, but I mean, he's got a great personality, but I think I understand what you say. I just don't know why he would risk his current life.
It goes back to what you said about Romo ruining it for everyone. Romo, 1 minute is predicting a play. 2 minutes, a minute later, he's giving you the X's and O's of what's going on with the defense and how the quarterback read it. And then 2 minutes later, he's being funny and making you laugh. So, Romo, like you said.
And the other thing is, and this is nothing, I'm not trying to take Tess down for this, but I think that one of the things that has not received enough attention when we talk about Tony Romo, because Tony deserves all the praise that he's getting. But I also feel like Jim Nantz has been wonderful for Tony.
Agreed.
Because he asks him questions. He sets him up. He early on, you could see the way, I mean, Jim Nantz has already made his name for himself. He's not trying to compete. I think that, you know, I'm not saying that it was egotistical on Tess's part, but, you know, he started off, and so he's trying to establish himself with the audience.
Right.
So he wasn't asking Witten a lot of questions or setting him up for things. Nantz was so gracious with Tony Romo and, like, literally just laid out the carpet for him so he could have a lot of oxygen and could, you know, in the booth. And I think that, you know, it became very, very complicated with Tess trying to establish himself with the audience at the same time Witten was.
You're dead on about Nantz. He's been great with Romo these 2 years. And, you know, I'm just listening to you say that, and I'm thinking in my head, it's sort of, it really, what ESPN really did was a disservice to those three guys in a way where they threw together three guys who had never called an NFL game before. Now, listen, the counter to that, someone could say, well, Tess did college, and Booger McFarland did college. College isn't the NFL. So they took three guys who had never called an NFL game and then put them together. And you look back, I know a lot of people had problems with that booth. They really were facing an uphill battle from day one. And, of course, then they stuck Booger on a crane, which didn't help.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Sean and Gruden weren't exactly a walk in the park. I mean, this is tough stuff, and you're spending $15.3 billion on it, so you want to get it right. But you just touched on something, if you don't mind me mentioning it. The one thing that kind of made me carsick after Witten had folded up was everybody saying, okay, the only thing ESPN can do now is bring Fowler and Herbstreit into the Monday night booth.
Ooh.
And it's like, this is the thing that it just drives me crazy, because this idea that college football is like the junior varsity, you know, and from a broadcasting perspective to Monday night football is just absolute crap. I mean, first of all, Herbstreit and Fowler understand the DNA of college football, and you spend more money, ESPN spends more money on college football than it does on the NFL. And while I recognize that the NFL is still kind of America's crack cocaine in terms of ratings, mm-hmm. ESPN's college football is really, really important to them. Those guys are perfectly suited for it.
Right.
And there's something else that happens, which is like, I don't know if you ever read Chris Fowler's essay about, like, you know, when the assault happened at Virginia Tech or something. But there's an emotional level that happens with college football that you rarely get with professional football. You only get it really when somebody retires or when there's a big, big matchup and right. It looks like, you know, both of their careers are about to, you know, like a quarterback matchup or something. Somebody comes back from a big, big injury. But every single week in college football, there's a narrative that's infused with, you know, some sort of emotional component.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, Fowler and Herbstreit are able to, create and maintain that duality. And it would have been just total nonsense. It would have been a brutal mistake for them to go into the Monday night booth.
I had not heard that one, and I agree with you totally that it would be a ridiculous move to make. I'll say a couple of things piggybacking off what you just said. I've always maintained, I don't think ESPN gets nearly enough credit for the stable of excellent college football broadcasters they have. You mentioned Fowler and Herbstreit's as good as it gets. But even, I mean, you go through what they have, who they have calling games on a Saturday afternoon, Steve Levy, Bob Wischusen, Mark Jones. They have such a stable there of good play-by-play guys. Their college football coverage is excellent. And I agree.
How about their studio stuff? How about their analyst stuff? How about, I mean, the Paul Feinbaums of the world? I mean, how about College Game Day for the last 25 years? I mean, it's like, and, you know, I once did this investigative series for the New York Times with Rich Sandomir and Steve Eder, and we did a three-part thing about ESPN and college football, and it really, we worked on it for like about 7-8 months, and it was just fascinating to really, really go deep with that because, I mean, they, for better or for worse, they started putting on those Thursday night games, which created revenue streams for these other, you know, teams that weren't on the, you know, on the A-list, and those programs started. You look at Louisville football, and you look at, you know, some of those other teams out west, particularly in the WAC conference.
Yep.
They had huge impact. Sometimes it was actually bad. But my only point is, college football is a huge, huge ecosystem for ESPN,
yep.
And you just can't ruin it for just the strength of the Monday night booth.
Yeah, and I think we both agree. And this was my point about Tessitore and Booger McFarland too. Like you said, college football just as important. They spend more money on it than the NFL, but they are two completely different animals when calling games. I mean, college football is a lot of rah-rah bullshit. This coach is the greatest thing ever. He graduated this many people. They got 4.0s and the mascots. The NFL, the fans just want the NFL. In the NFL, fans just give us the game. Just give us the game and, you know, so it's a totally different animal, in my opinion.
And by the way, there's one other footnote, which is the, you know, the big kind of like elephant in the corner in this. All this is, we're in 2019. The deals are up. You know,
after 2021. Yep.
Exactly. I think they're going to shrink the window. So ESPN, which is technically up, will be part of the overall. They'll just make one big window. And, you know, like I've been saying, I mean, I said this over a year ago, I wouldn't be surprised if ABC Network went for a slot. I think that Les Moonves being absent from this round is going to have a really, really, is going to make CBS's position extremely tough. That's nothing against Sean or David Burson or anybody else who's going to be involved, but obviously Les had a history with not only Robert Kraft but the entire NFL. That was, I mean, look, the first time Thursday Night Football came up, you know, somebody said, you know, they asked me, well, who do you think is going to get it? Well, you know, you can't bet against Les, and sure enough, he got it. So there's a lot of wild cards, streaming services and, you know, everything else. So I think there's going to be a lot of clauses in announcer contracts, particularly Tony's, where it's the old Madden Summerall rule. You know, you're not tied to the network, obviously. You go with the package.
Right. Well, Tony is up after this season.
Yep.
So do you think CBS locks him up, or you think a bidding war ensues? Would you not listen to all the offers?
Right. I mean, I think that in order for them to preemptively lock him up, it's going to be a pretty big Brinks truck that's going to have to be, you know, lined up and delivered. Otherwise, you know, one might think that the marketplace is going to be able to, you know, to really pull a big number up. I mean, I guess Madden's best number was 8,
yeah.
I think. You know, so he's gonna be in that neighborhood, that's for sure.
And then, like we mentioned, you must be looking at my notes from your house because I have it here that the ESPN contract, ESPN gets Monday Night Football for this season, 2019, 2020, and then 2021. And then who knows what happens. Now, Turner, just they've had a big shakeup. David Levy, who's been there forever, is gone. Rumblings Jeff Zucker will take over Turner Sports. Could you see?
He is taking over.
He is taking over. Could you see the NFL, people forget, the NFL was on Turner, TNT a long time ago. Vern Lundquist in the booth, I remember, they had the Sunday night package. How much of a player is Turner going to be for an NFL package?
Do you remember who, actually Turner split the package? Do you remember who they split it with?
Turner, they split it? Oh, God. Not with ESPN?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, that's
ESPN half a package in 1987.
Yeah.
And then Waterworld and a couple other things happened to Inside Turner, and they said they walked away from the NFL, which then enabled ESPN to get an entire season, which enabled ESPN to really, really hit those sub fees and the cable systems for those sub fees. And that was the beginning of the real wide moat. That was the beginning of the huge cash machine.
All right, this episode of the SI Media Podcast is sponsored by Audible. Could listening make you a better parent, a better leader, even a better person? Could listening to motivating fitness programs get you fit? Could listening inspire you to start something new? There's never been a better time to start listening on Audible. With Audible, you get access to an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, and now, with Audible Originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members. Audible members can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook and 2 Audible Originals you can't hear anywhere else. Audible members also get access to exclusive audio fitness programs to start the new year off on the right foot. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go. You'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges, rollover credits, and an audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. Get started with a 30-day free trial when you go to audible.com/media or text 500500 media. Text media to 500500 and listen for a change. Again, that is audible.com/media. One book I know, I was looking at Audible. There's a great Andre Agassi autobiography from a few years ago called Open. I saw it on Audible. Can't recommend that one enough. It's a really great book. And if you're an SI Media Podcast listener, you can sign up and get all the great stuff from Audible on audible.com/media. So I know that, so I've read rumblings about maybe ABC tries to get a Sunday afternoon package. Turner's in the mix. So it does seem like 2020 is going to be a free for all when these contracts are coming up.
I think it's going to be the most dynamic year, the most dynamic negotiations in recent memory. I mean, I think it's going to be obviously in 2005 when ESPN got Monday night and left Sunday night. That was quite interesting because you had NBC, Dick Ebersol, being able to get back into the NFL game, and poor ESPN thinking that they had gotten Monday night with the Monday night football schedule. Little did they know that, you know. Yeah. Well, they had actually been told that they were getting the Sunday night cable package on Monday night, but that was an exciting round.
What, since we mentioned Turner and Jeff Zucker taking over, for the average typical Joe Schmo sports fan, good news, bad news, expect big changes, what do you think Jeff Zucker
does? Well, I think that people forget that, because Jeff has been so enmeshed in news at CNN, and then before that, he at NBC, he also had NBC Entertainment stuff. But he has, he's got a huge interest in sports. People had mentioned, or people had thought that he might have gone for Skipper's job after Skipper left. There were rumors that he might be interested in that, or that ESPN was interested in talking to him. But I think that one of the things that, you know, we're going to see rather quickly is, there's so much up for grabs in the next couple of years. We've gone through a quiet period. And one of the ways in which you kind of brand your organization is how you decide to spend your money and how aggressively you decide to spend it. And so it will be interesting to see, what Zucker is going to do in terms of his own relationship with the NFL and whether or not he wants to start positioning that, and whether AT&T is going to give him the money.
Yeah.
The one thing's for sure is that, maybe a couple of years ago we were talking about declining ratings and problems off the field and the politicalization of things. But I think that, you know, one of the things that happened this past season was that the league is, you know, back on terra firma. There's not as many, negative stories. And I think that people still appreciate the fact that even though some numbers are down or whatever, that, you know, you still want to be in the NFL game, or at least most people do.
Right. And Turner, obviously, I mean, what David Levy has done with Turner in terms of the NBA has been tremendous. inside the NBA with Ernie and Barkley and Kenny Smith and Shaq, obviously. David Levy, probably a guy who didn't get enough credit for all the stuff he did over there.
No, that NBA operation, as you say, is pretty amazing. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Just like ESPN. No, I'm just kidding. Never mind.
I watch that ESPN pre-halftime post-show with, what is it, Michelle Beadle, Paul Pierce, and Jalen Rose, I'm just like, I feel bad for them because, like, what can they do when the gold standard is the other one? But, man, that's a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they're going to, you know, Rachel is going to stay, and I think that, you know, they have some good people. They just have never been able to put together an NBA show or NBA shoulder program in the way Turner has.
I know you went on Richard Deitch's podcast a few weeks ago, and you were very fired up about Adnan Virk's firing. Is there anything new to that story? It's been very, very, very quiet since the initial day or two when it broke via Andrew Marchand. I know there's lawsuits, so everyone's probably tight-lipped, but have you heard any rumblings about maybe they settle, maybe ESPN reconsiders and Virk goes back, Virk, any offers from MLB Network, DAZN, do you have anything there?
I think Adnan is going to be fine. I hope that's the case, and I think he's going to probably, if I had to bet on it, he's going to be fine elsewhere. I was hoping that ESPN would reconsider, but that hasn't happened. I think that in so doing so, though, they've created a really, really dangerous precedent for themselves because, you know, it's clear what he did, and I say this out of respect for him, but he's a freaking idiot for what he did. But the truth is ESPN has been, you know, looking to kind of catch somebody red-handed for a long time, and they finally did. I just don't think the cure was much worse than the disease, and that's why I was, you know, somewhat animated about it. But
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you saying that ESPN was looking to sort of send a message to the rest of the staff here about leaking and giving information away?
Yeah, I mean, they've always had. I tweeted out, I think, an example. I mean, Chet Simmons, before he died, at one of our last conversations, you know, he said that the most important thing to him back when he was president, and this is like 1980, was him being the only person that communicated with the press because he was really upset about other people talking to the press. So that's like 1980 when there's like six people in the executive trailer. So it's been a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem for White Houses. It's a problem for many organizations. It's been a particular problem for ESPN from time to time. You know, I think that Bornstein had it probably under control more than most of the other presidents. But the point is, though, that this was a case where, it didn't take Colombo to figure out, you know, what Virk had done.
Right.
And I think they were trying to send a message. I think that's kind of ridiculous. That's like saying, you know, the day the death penalty was instituted, people would stop murdering people. Cause that's just not the case. But now what they've done is they've put future anchors and future reporters and analysts, whatever, in harm's way, because if, you know, if they by chance have a background conversation with somebody and that reporter is rather loose or about that information that they give them in a way that enables ESPN to figure out when and where they found that out, then, you know, what are they going to do?
Right.
What are they going to do? They can't suspend a person. They're going to have to fire him because that's the precedent they sent. So I think it was just that's going to be a tough one for them to live with. The bottom line is that the Virk punishment doesn't end with Virk, and now that's part of the whole thing. And you know, it could be a dangerous one.
And now, if I have Jim Miller on, I have to talk about the Sopranos movie. But before I do that, one last one on the sports stuff. ESPN announced a daily gambling show that starts in a few weeks that they're going to be doing Monday through Friday. I find the game. Now, listen, I am a gambler. I just bet football, NFL, and college football, so I don't want to overstate it like I'm betting year round. But I'm a heavy NFL, college football bettor, and I find the betting and gambling stuff sort of penetrating the sports world fascinating from the standpoint of the leagues are not happy with it until they get their money, and the networks have to do whatever the leagues want, which is why none of the networks would mention anything about gambling this past NFL season. So it's interesting to me that ESPN is going ahead with this. I feel like they have to because it's happening. But I wonder if they can go full bore or if they have to be careful because they don't want to piss off Roger Goodell and company.
Well, look, there were two big agenda items for Jimmy Pitaro when he came on board as ESPN president. One was to get rid of politics and to drain, you know, ESPN of, you know, any kind of crossover between sports and politics. But the second was to repair the relationship between the NFL and ESPN because, as I've said many times, I mean, I don't believe Skipper was even interested in getting NFL again. Right. Not that it was going to be up to him. It was going to be up to Bob, obviously. But the point is, I can't imagine right now Jimmy Pitaro and ESPN doing anything that doesn't have at least the quiet blessing of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think they're going too far at all. And I think the fact that they're going into it shows another reality of what it's like to be ESPN in 2019, which is that, you know, you got to go through all the doors you can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this gambling thing, it's like we can't afford to sit on the sidelines for it. There's money to be made there. There's eyeballs to attract, and we want to be everywhere. And, you know, in some ways, that's what ESPN has always done, even dating back to ESPN the magazine and other things. But right now, they are sending a clear signal that they want to be as big a part of this as they can be.
Right. Yeah. I was going to go to the Sopranos movie, but you just said something that made me think of something else. About, you mentioned that when Pitaro took over, and I think we're speaking on the, I think I saw a tweet, it's been 1 year now since he's taken over today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. You said
about that.
Yeah. You said one of his main missions at the top of the list was to sort of get rid of the politics from ESPN. And he's done that, like you said. Now, I'm wondering, he's been able to do that over the past year because I guess we had midterms last year, but I wonder if that will stick next November when we're in election season and there are debates and conventions and hopefully people smart enough to vote the maniac in office out. But that will be the test, I think, is come next summerish about getting the politics out of ESPN.
Well, yeah, but it's that old adage that I used to share with my kids, which is Noah built the ark before it started raining.
Right.
And so they said goodbye to Jamel. And they have literally sent messages across the bow that this is nothing that we want to be doing. And, you know, by and large, you don't have a lot of people pushing back on it. And so I think that they've done a good job of positioning themselves in advance of that. You know, so they don't get sucked into that vortex. You know, years ago.
Just to be clear, I don't think on SportsCenter they're going to cover, you know, Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. But I'm talking about social media and.
I mean, you know, look, I have to say, I think that, you know, when Jamel left, and I interviewed her right afterwards, and she mm-hmm. recognized this, it was not just her leaving; it was a symbolic thing as well.
Yeah.
And you know, years ago, Bill Simmons wanted to interview Obama. I think it was 2008 during the campaign, the first one, and they wouldn't let him. And then he later, Obama did get interviewed on ESPN, which made Bill Carr sick. But my only point is, I think you might go, you might see, you know, pushback even to those levels,
right,
where, you know, it's not going to be like you're going to see a parade of Democratic hopefuls appearing on ESPN, you know, podcasts even, or, you know, the car wash or something like that.
Right.
I think they're going to try and really stick away from it.
Oh, they went full tilt, though, when Barack Obama was at the Duke game last week, or was that 2 weeks ago or last week? They couldn't get enough of Barack in the front row with his jacket with 44 on the sleeve, and then him calling out Zion's injury with his shoe broke. I thought Obama was the third man on the team during that game. In the booth?
Yeah. No, I think that's true. But that's kind of like unavoidable. I mean, You know, I don't think that's an indication of the pendulum swinging.
Right. No, I agree. It'll be interesting if Trump gets voted out next year and then he shows up to a college basketball game. How much coverage he'll get on that? let's go to the Sopranos movie, because let me do Origins first. Do you have any new Origins coming out? Let's give that a little plug.
Thank you. We're going to be announcing several new chapters very shortly.
Nice. I still want that Howard Stern chapter. I'm going to beg you for that.
Okay.
I think, you know, there's a lot of rumblings that he has a very secretive autobiography coming out. Do you know anything about that? You're in the publishing world. Is that true?
I mean, I've heard the rumblings like you have. It would certainly be a tour de force if he decides to really, go for it and and talk about everything that he can talk about.
Yeah, that's one celebrity that's managed to keep stuff quiet. So an autobiography from him would be interesting. What the big news on the Sopranos prequel is that Ray Liotta just got cast in that. Are you for that? You like that move, that casting?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's all great, and we'll take it any way you can. And
right.
Jimmy Gandolfini's son, and I mean, I think that the idea of David Chase and Larry Connor, that script has got to be awesome. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten my hands on it yet. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you just, you know, I mean, some people can't wait for the next Marvel movie or whatever. But, I mean, I can't wait for this. And
yeah.
I think it's going to, you know, they've assembled a great team. And, I just can't wait.
I do love all of the Goodfellas Sopranos connections.
Absolutely.
And they're
absolutely
a lot. Yeah.
I'm going to be I hope to do a Origins at the beginning of next year on the 20th anniversary of Goodfellas.
Oh, now you've piqued my interest.
So.
Oh, yes, please.
Plan to go deep for that anniversary, Lord willing.
I love how we just had the Oscars, and every year when the Oscars are going on, there's always a billion tweets reminding people that Dances with Wolves beat Goodfellas for Best Picture.
Yeah, it's right up there with Ordinary People beating Raging Bull.
Right. I mean, that's.
Oof. But you know, I think that there was the connection between Goodfellas and Sopranos. It's interesting because Lorraine Bracco was originally they approached her to be Carmela Soprano.
Right.
And she said, I've already done Mob, and I've already done that role, but she wanted the role of Dr. Melfi, which I thought like was such an inspired choice on her part, and the fact that David went along with it. And of course, we got Edie Falco as a bonus, and that is just still one of the most terrific female parts and female performances ever.
Yep. Absolutely. It would have been the only thing that I'm like you. I like that Lorraine said she's already done Mob Wife and she wanted to do the therapist role. But it would have been interesting if she did Carmela to see then who would have been Melfi, because the Melfi Tony stuff is just so tremendous and she was so great with it. So it's hard to imagine someone else. You can't imagine someone else doing Carmela, because like you said, Edie, that was as good as it's ever gotten in television. But that fantasy casting is always fun to do.
Yeah, well, the thing about Melfi was that she was Italian, and I mean, there was just so many things that made that dynamic between doctor and patient so much more controversial and multidimensional, and, you know, particularly when Tony was undergoing transference. I mean, it was rich, man.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm looking forward to the Goodfellas Origins. That's exciting news right there, and we'll be in touch if ESPN has any big Monday Night Football news coming out anytime soon. I appreciate you coming on today and sharing your insights on all the latest sports media news.
Oh, Fun to be here.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jerry.
Take care. All right. My thanks to Jim Miller for chatting about the latest sports media news. Make sure you subscribe to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. If you have not already, check out the archives. A lot of good interviews from the past few weeks in there. And we'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast.